Let's stop there. And if you pull out your lesson and take a look at it, you know, read this introduction. It says, Paul speaks of the church in terms of husbandry and being a building. Churches are commissioned to be engaged in building, not in the building of auditoriums, educational buildings, and gymnasiums, but in the building of lives and the building of God's agency. The local New Testament church is a place for believers to love one another and learn and labor together. So as we think about this lesson and get started with it, we're thinking about the fact that this is God's work. I'm reminded of the verse that he which began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. So it's God's work. But we are, and we're responsible for God. He's going to do this work through us. But so as one plants and one waters, God gives the increase. It's God that's going to bless our lives, God that's going to produce fruit in our lives. Something we need to remember. It's God's building when we think in terms of, you know, this is the Lord's church. I was talking to Brother Jay over lunch a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about different churches and how they change over time. And we're reminded, you know, it's God's church. We don't need to worry ourselves with it, you know, with what happens maybe another church and the direction it's going. It's God's work, and that's not our problem. It's really not our business. Our business is our church, right? And as we think more about this, what the lesson's going to focus on today is the foundation. So we're going to try to get through the first point here. I'm going to use a lot of pastor's notes, and I'm going to use some of my own. And we're not going to finish this lesson today because I want our pastor to finish it. I want him to be able to teach this lesson and make sure he gets everything in it that that's on his heart. But in verse 10, we're told to take heed how, he says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth. So we've got, in this terms of the building, we're building, and what we need to take heed when we're building, and we're going to get into next week, is what we're putting into our building, the building materials. This week, though, what we're reminded of is a foundation. If you're going to build something, you want to make sure that you have a good foundation for that structure to rest upon. Following this week, we'll talk about the substance that goes into the building and then the scrutiny of the building, which is a really interesting thing to think about. And is there's a lot of discussion that can take place, and there's a lot of meat in that scrutiny, and I'm sure Pastor's going to cover that well for us. But we're reminded in that part, that scrutiny, that when we're building for today. You know, we're building something that we can appreciate today, but we're really building for eternity. And it's going to last. What we're doing, the works that we do today, are really, you know, if they're the right kind of works, done with the right motive and the right spirit, they'll last for eternity. So it's just a great passage and a great encouragement there. So when we think about this foundation, let me make sure I got the right note here. Letter A says the presence of this foundation. And we see this in verse 11. It says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. So there is a foundation for us. Psalm 11, verse 3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And what we know is that we have a foundation as Christians, and it's a strong foundation. And guess what? That foundation is not going to be destroyed. It's going to last forever and ever. We may close out the lesson today with a verse from Revelation that talks about Jesus Christ being that foundation. I'm really getting ahead of myself here, but it's going to last, but we've got a good, strong foundation. So when we think about the presence of the foundation, it's there. And guess what? There's nothing else that'll do. It says, for no other foundation, can no man lay than that is laid. So that follows up what we've been studying, right? Carnality in the church. And these people were carnal because a lot of them were thinking that maybe they had a different foundation. Their foundation was Pastor so-and-so, Paul or Apollos, and that's what maybe they were building on. Guess what? That's not going to last. That carnal Christianity, you're not going to build something on a foundation like that. You're not going to build something that's going to last for eternity if it's built on carnality. So, as we get into this, I want us to talk about why a foundation is important. And that's what I really want us to think about today, is why is the foundation important? And if you have a comment or question, make sure you just speak out or raise your hand. And I know we've got some people in this church that know a whole lot more about building than I do. But be thinking, why is the foundation important? And if you have something that I don't mention or you want to mention something just outright, go ahead and do it. The class benefits when other people make comments, so please make sure you do that. I did a little studying on this just to make sure I was right, but if you have a faulty foundation, one of the reasons that a foundation is so important that you have a right foundation, that foundation is poured correctly or it's squared up, it's level. One of the reasons that you have to have a good foundation is because if you're building on a foundation, say, that's not square and it's not level, as you build on that faulty foundation, something that's maybe 3/4 of an inch out of square, as you start to build your structure, those mistakes are compounded. Something that's built on a foundation that's not level, you say, well, it's a little off here, but by the time you build up on that foundation, when you get to the top, things are going to be a whole lot more than an inch out of level. So we need to make sure that we're building our lives on the right foundation. So we've got a foundation. There was an illustration that I looked at and read. A guy said that he was looking at a house that was built on a faulty foundation, and the builder was saying, well, I'll fix it in the framing. He tried to fix it in the framing, and guess what? When he got up to the roof, it was still out. And the problem was he was putting a metal roof on this house, so when the square metal panels came to put on this house, everyone could see that they had a square roof, you know, the square panels on the roof, but it didn't line up. It didn't look good on the crooked house. So we can think about that in terms of our life, too. If we're building on something that's not right, it may start off small, but when you get your life built, there's going to be some huge errors in it that people are going to notice, and we don't want to be like that. There's three things about a foundation that, talking about a building, that I think we need to take note of here. And if you have something else, I'm thinking of some of the builders we have in here. I know BJ and Brother Bill build a lot, and probably some others. If I'm missing something, raise your hand and let us know, because I'm sure it's going to apply. We got an engineer, a couple engineers, right? So you may be able to contribute something here. But number one, the foundation bears the load. So we're thinking about our lives. Okay, make sure you're making these parallels here. The foundation that you're built on is going to bear the load. And there's two loads that your foundation is going to bear. It's going to bear the dead weight. And the dead weight is just the weight of the house. Okay? It's going to bear that weight. This building here has dead weight in it. It's the roof, the framing, the material in the house. And this, it's the foundation's what's bearing the weight. But it also bears the live weight. And the live weight could be the people that come into this. The people that come, let's take this auditorium. Okay, it's the people that come in. It changes. It's that way in life. We have our dead weight maybe, But we also have the live weight, the things that come to us from day to day that change every day. The live weight could be people in a building. It could be snow resting on the roof. Just anything that changes. So be thinking about that. And also, it anchors against natural forces. A good foundation is going to be something that can you can anchor the building to. And the natural forces that happen, natural forces, maybe it's an earthquake, maybe it's wind, a tornado, a hurricane, just anything that could, maybe it's something really bad, like somebody backs a church van into a building. We had that happen around here once. And thankfully, the building was anchored to a good foundation, and the building didn't move. Maybe dented, didn't move. So a good foundation is it's important because it anchors the building against the natural forces. And here's another thing that it does. It isolates the structure from ground moisture. So a lot of times you'll have a foundation, you build it, you know, you put it really deep, and then you can pour a basement in it, right? But you think about this foundation, you know, wherever the foundation is, and I'm not exactly sure how all this works, but I know when I walk around this building that I see concrete before I see steel. So whether or not that's the foundation I'm looking at, which I think it is, Brother John's kind of nodding, that's the foundation I'm seeing. I didn't know if there was another term for what I was seeing above ground, but it really guards against and it isolates against ground moisture. And when I was thinking about that ground moisture, if we had just started putting the rough timber in the ground when this building was built, you know what would happen? There'd be moisture that got into the timber, and there would be worms and bugs and all kinds of nastiness that would get in and eat up the structure, and it wouldn't stand long. Are you getting what I'm saying? We need to make sure our life is built on the right foundation, because if it's not, there's going to be a whole lot of nastiness in this world that's going to get in, and it's going to erode the base of our lives, and it's not going to last long. Your life will fall apart. It'll get warped and eaten up, and it'll crumble and rot. We don't want that. So in life, we need a foundation for this isolation from the nastiness of the depths, and I think of the evilness that's out in the world, to bear our loads and to anchor us so that or to tie us so that we're not tossed and driven by life's challenges, right? The challenges that come into our life. I think of challenges to our faith. If, you know what, we're supposed to be thinkers, right? Pastors preach on that on Wednesday night. When you think, you open your mind up to other possibilities. You know what, kids go to college, and guess what? They are bombarded with other philosophies, with theories. And as a Christian, I don't necessarily think, I think it's a bad thing to have error thrown at you constantly, but it's going to happen, and we need to be able to think about it and deal with it, but we need to be anchored and always have something to come back to. And so there's challenges to our faith, there's philosophies, there's theories, there's storms of life. Think about, a flood, that comes through, and maybe if the house isn't anchored well, we've had floods around here, if the house isn't anchored well, it might lift up off that foundation. It might get pushed off the foundation in a flood. And I dare to say that every one of us is going to have a storm in our life at some point in time. There's going to be something that comes into your life, and you're thinking, wow, I wasn't expecting this. I got blindsided by this. And I'm in a storm right now, and you've got to have a rock. You've got to have an anchor that you can be tied down to and know that whatever's going on right now that I didn't expect, this is a horrible, horrible thing, but I know that I have an anchor. And I'm tied to it. I've got a rock. I've got a foundation. That's what my life is built upon. And I'm going to go back to that. And we're going to talk about that anchor, that rock, our foundation, here in a few minutes. And it's great. There's nothing better. There's no other foundation that can be laid that we need to build our life on other than the one that is laid for us. So just know this. We have an anchor. We have a foundation. Here's a couple things that I wrote down about these storms in life or changing atmospheres in life. Thinking about the storms in life, tragedies, sickness, death, disappointments, failures. These are all things that at some point you're going to experience. And you've got to be able to know that I've got a rock I can go back to. And that's what I'm building my life on. So these other things, they're not going to move me. They're not going to destroy me. They're not going to just be the end of life as I know it, because I'm building my life on a good foundation. Here's a couple things I wrote down. Our rock is a big rock. Our foundation is really, really big. And that's important because you need to know where it's at. Okay, you need to be able to identify it and know where it's at all times. Sometimes in life, I'm going to maybe change the picture here, but let's just say that you're a boat and you've got an anchor that's anchoring you to a rock, you know, underground. That's not your foundation, but you're tied to that, and you might drift off a little bit, but you've got that line, that anchor that you can pull back to. You can always know where you need to go back to. Our rock is a point of reference for us, so no matter what happens, we can always go back to. This is what I'm building my life on. I was thinking about Paul. Paul in Jefferson City has things presented to him that can sometimes be confusing, right? Which way should I vote? That's a complicated issue, right? And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I often hear him say that the purpose of government is to keep people free, right? Did I say it right? Okay. Maybe you got some other anchors that you go back to, but that's a big one, just from hearing him talk. That's something that he always goes back to with this complicated issue. I'm going to filter through. I'm always going to go back to, what is my purpose of being here? It's to help keep people free. So in these complicated issues, he's got that to go back to. It's like a point of reference for him. Exodus 17:6 is a verse that I like to think about. It says, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And I was thinking about this earlier in the week, not in preparation for this lesson, but maybe it was last week. I showed my kids a YouTube video of these people that they think they found the rock that Moses struck and water came out of it. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's a big rock. I would encourage you to look at the YouTube video. Just search it, you know, the rock that Moses struck, and you'll see it. And it's a huge rock, and it's split right down the middle. And it's giant. And it's a fascinating video to watch. I encourage you to watch it. I don't know if it's really the one or not, but in this verse, God told Moses, he said, I'll stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. It was a place where he knew that he needed to go to get the water so that the children of Israel could drink. We're going to look at some scripture here in just a moment. But, you know, these hymn writers that we have in our hymnal and other songs, there's a lot of songs about our rock. And I'm just going to name some that I wrote down that I thought of. One is, I go to the rock. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Fanny Crosby wrote, he hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. And she said, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. So there's a rock there. Rock of Ages, that one's in our hymnal. Cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. We sing Standing on the Solid Rock. And just a good picture. It goes right along with our lesson here. Standing on the Solid Rock. There's "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." And there's another song about the rock that is higher than I. That's in our hymnal. It says, "Oh, then to the rock let me fly, to the rock that is higher than I." There's another song called "The Solid Rock." And all of a sudden I'm forgetting what the words are. I'm sure they're very similar to these other words, but just a few songs that I had thought of. But now let's turn our attention to the person of our foundation. If we look at verse 11, the second part of verse 11, it says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. This is a good parallel passage in Matthew chapter 16, and we'll look at verses 13 through 18. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. It says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' He said unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.'" See, when Jesus asked the question, some of the disciples said, "Well, some say you're Jonas or Elias or one of the prophets." And what Jesus said is, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, got it right. He didn't say there's another foundation out there. He didn't say you're one of the prophets. He said you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. So no other foundation can any man lay. Let's turn to Acts chapter 4. And in Acts chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 10 through 12. But there's a backstory to this that I think we need to consider. And the backstory is in Acts chapter 3. And I'm sure we're all very familiar with it, but it's good to be reminded of. When I teach children's church, junior worship next door, the kids love to sing a song. It's called "Peter and John Went to Pray." And the song is, "Peter and John went to pray. They found a lame man on their way. He held out his alms, or held out his palms and asked for alms." And this is what Peter did say. So that's the backstory. And as we look at it, I'm just gonna look at chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask of alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" He said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Let's look at verse 19. What happened is people gathered around. They were amazed. They were in wonderment. And Peter said, "Here's an opportunity. I'm going to preach the gospel to these people." In verse 19, he preached and he said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." He preached to these people. And then in verse 5 of the next chapter, we see that the religious people, the builders of the time, the movers and shakers, the people ruling things in the world, they got Peter and John, and they demanded of them to know of what of what power? How did you do this? This is out of the norm, and it's not something that we controlled, so we're very suspect to this, and we don't like it because it's not something that we had power over. And then in verse 5, let's see, I'm going to drop down to verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is that their salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That's our foundation. That's the foundation. That's the stone that was set at naught of the builders. He's the head of the corner of our foundation. It is none other than Jesus Christ. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. And if somebody gets there before I do, go ahead and read it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. I'll go ahead and read it. It says, "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." That's our foundation. That, you see, he that believeth on him, you've got that foundation. We're saved. We're born again Christians. And guess what? We're not going to be confounded by the storms in life. We've got that anchor to go back to. We're held secure. And as we're thinking about the other issues of life, that's what we go back to. We always go back to our rock. We always go back to the foundation. That's what's going to keep us secure as we're building for eternity this spiritual house. Ephesians 2:20, we're told that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, actually, if you want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32, at this portion of Deuteronomy, Moses is coming to the end of his life. He's had some last words to say to the children of Israel. And then he breaks out into song. And that's what chapter 32 is. It's Moses' song at the end of his life. And in verse 4, he says, I'll start with verse 1. We'll read through verse 4 here. He says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of our Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is our rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." That's encouraging to know about our foundation. He's just and right. He's our rock. He's our foundation. He's just and he's right. The components that make up our foundation, it's all good. You don't have to worry about that foundation crumbling. It's just and right. We build on it. Guess what? Things are going to, if we build, put into the right materials upon it, we're going to learn about that in the coming weeks, but if we build on that, we can have confidence that our foundation is just and right. This is a great song that Moses sung, and he ends up in verse 15. He says, "But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation." That's a good warning to us, right? We don't want to lightly esteem our foundation. We need to hold it in high regard because of how great our rock is, how great Jesus is. And it's a good warning there. We don't want to be like that. In verse 15 through 19, there's more warning here. In verse 17, it says, "They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock," with a capital R in verse 18, "of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee." Not a good place to be in. In verse 18, it says, "And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters." Let's drop down to verse 31. Last time our rock is mentioned in this song, I believe. And he says, let's back up a little bit. Let's go to verse 29. It says, "How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up?" In verse 31 it says, "For their rock is not is our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges." You know what? Some people, they go out and build. They don't have the foundation. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't been born again, you're building on a wrong foundation. And you need to make sure that you get on the right foundation as soon as you can. And today would be a good time to do that. But the passage here says that their rock is not our rock. There's a difference, a big difference. We got Jesus Christ. He's our rock. Let's see. We got a few minutes left, so yes. Absolutely. All right. Thank you for sharing that, sister. I appreciate that. That's good. Assign some verses that we can close out the class with. Just trying to figure out which ones I would like us to take note of. Let's do this. Let's stay in Psalms. We'll start with the people on the edges. Mom. Psalm 18:2 and Paul 18:31 and Hosea, Psalm 18:46. And Sister Tanya, could you look up Psalm 31, verses 2 and 3? And Brother Henderson, Psalm 40, verse 2. And we'll skip Sister Henderson since she already spoke. Brother Bob, Psalm 61, verse 2. And we'll do three more. Bobby, can you read for us 62, verse 2? Psalm 62, verse 2. Did I skip someone? I skipped Sister Malsich, didn't I? I did. Could you look up Psalm 62, verse 6? And Brother David, Psalm 62, verse 7. And we'll stop there. So let's just read these real quick. It'll be good reminders for us. Psalm 18, verse 2. Paul? 31.
Well, who is God save the Lord? Well, who is the rock save our God?
All right, and Brother Jose?
Psalm 18, verse 46. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted.
All right, and Psalm 31, verses 2 and 3. Brother Henderson?
Also, out of the marble pit, out of the narrow clay, and set my feet upon the rock, and establish my going.
All right. Psalm 61, verse 2. All right. Psalm 62, verse 2. Can you do that for us, Bobby?
He is only my rock and my salvation. He is my difference. I shall not be greatly moved.
All right. And Psalm 62, 6. Did I not give that to anyone? Oh, okay. Well, can you read Psalm 62, 6? One of you. Verse 7.
God, my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my
God. All right. If you just do a word search on rock and foundation in the Bible, there's lots of things. There's a lot more that could be beneficial to us, but we just need to be reminded this morning that we do have a foundation. His name is Jesus. We can build our lives on Him. And in closing, just two things. We need to be reminded. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25 tells us that, you know, Jesus has just presented His Sermon on the Mount, what Pastor often refers to as Christianity 101. And then He says, "He that hears these sayings of mine and does them," He likens them, those people, to a man that builds his house on a rock. And the winds come and the storms come and that house stands. But the person that doesn't build their house on the teachings of Christ, if you're not building your life on that, you're going to be like the man that He likens to someone that builds their house on sand. And the winds come, the rains blow, and you know what happens? The sand washes out from under the house. You don't want to build your structure on sand. I remember in college, I used to go to one of the beaches down in Florida from time to time. And one of my favorite things to do is just stand on the beach, actually in the water, maybe up to my, you know, the middle of my shins or something. The waves come in, they hit you, and the sand just washes right out from under your feet. And for some reason, maybe I'm just strange, I enjoyed doing that and just seeing how long I could stand there before I had to move. And it wasn't very long. You had to move. I could not stand on that shifting sand. And I think we all know this. We can't build our lives on it either. We got to be anchored to that foundation. As I was studying the foundations, this is the last thing and we'll close. As I was looking into these foundations, you know, there's components of a foundation. Brother Bill, what goes into a foundation?
Concrete and rebar.
Concrete and rebar. And what happens if you don't put the rebar in?
It falls apart.
It falls apart, right? It can. And if you don't put enough in, it's dangerous, right? If you say, well, I'm going to save on the cost of some of that rebar and not put it all in, it's going to fall apart. You know what? Our foundation, Jesus Christ, the Bible compares him to many different things. It's a person. We can say, yeah, our foundation is Christ, but what does that mean? There's lots of components here that we don't have time to talk about, but we know that Jesus is compassionate. We know that he's love. We know that he's the way, the truth, and the life. And we know that he's returning someday to rule. And we're not going to take the time to read it. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16 ends that passage saying that he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So thank you for your time and attention, Sister Henderson. Thank you for your comments and Brother Bill. And let's go ahead and be dismissed in prayer. If you all want to stand.